Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw. Enjoy as Don Tony spills the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw. Breakfast Soup Raw. And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, old intro, but we will be getting rid of that very, very soon. Good evening, everyone. It is May 2nd, 2022. Do you know 23 years ago today I got married? No joke. Got it annulled 6 months later, though. And 4 months from tomorrow, I will be walking down that aisle. Hopefully that's it. Two and done. Kind of like Hulk Hogan, two and done. So what's going on, everybody? It is Monday night. I hope you all had a great weekend. I got to be honest with you. Tonight's episode of Raw, you know, a little less to be desired. You know, obviously the big match is all the conversation. I'm still blown away that no one is coming up just as a possible idea of maybe that footage that came out about Jimmy Uso with the officer. I know the DUI arrest was a year ago, and I know that he has gotten treatment and help, and he is clean right now. But I don't think WWE was prepared to see how much of a dick that he appeared on that video. I wonder if, I'm not saying that that's the reason, but I'm a little surprised that no one is thinking, could that be a possibility? You know, in all the years of us watching WWE programming, I mean, they have changed stipulations before. But there's no way you can't say to me, DT, in all the years, I really cannot remember almost ever that they would have such a very important stipulation unifying the championships, winner take all, right after WrestleMania, keeping that buzz, and a week before the pay-per-view, never mind. What's the big deal? Look, yesterday when we did the sit-down, we were talking about Drew McIntyre. And some of you had some great points as far as Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. I think we all agreed even before this weekend that Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns is going to be a feud. I know a lot of people were reporting last week that Drew versus Roman was going to be a match at Backlash. I had never heard that, and I'm glad that's not happening. But the one thing that we all talked about yesterday that got a pretty big reception back from our audience. A lot of people agree on this. Roman Reigns, even if he gets pinned in this match, he's still the champion. He's still a unified champion. So putting Drew McIntyre, you ask yourself this. Look, you ask yourself this. We had before this past Friday, this was the match. Winners take all. Tag team championship unification match. There is no denying that the tag team situation in WWE is horrid right now. It's awful. When you see the caliber of talent that they have, even if you have to put a couple of makeshift tag teams together, you know, and we pointed this out on Saturday, you have Shanky and Jinder teasing a breakup. I'm not saying that they should be tag champs. You have Sheamus getting mad at Ridge Holland. I'm not saying that they're going to split or should be tag champs. You have Angel and Humberto. When they were losing to Ricochet, they were mad at each other, teasing a possible split. The tag team division is such a mess, and there's three more teams that they teased a possible split up. So you go from that to a six-man tag. Now, look, fans that are going to go to Backlash are going to enjoy this. There ain't nobody out there that's going to say, oh, I paid money to see the unification match and now I'm getting this instead. I want a refund. People, you know who the people are that are going to say that? People that are not going to Backlash, but they're going to say it on Twitter to try to get 90 likes out of it. But how do you go from one extreme to the other in 1 week? If you go back to years past when RVD was a double champion for WWE at the same time and he had that moronic incident with Sabu when they got pulled over and they had marijuana and drugs and other stuff in the car, Rob Van Dam blew an amazing opportunity being a double champion for WWE. So what did they do? They had to change things up and get those belts off of him as quickly as possible. So why a week before Backlash, when you're pushing winner take all, winner take all, winner take all, winner take all, especially coming off of WrestleMania, one of the biggest stipulations of all time, winner take all, winner take all, winner take all. Why do you change that a week before? Either what we talked about as a scenario, or Drew McIntyre pinning Roman Reigns at Backlash. Drew McIntyre, I think everybody agrees when we were talking about it yesterday, Drew McIntyre is the odds-on favorite to pin Roman Reigns at Backlash. Now, think about the SmackDown following Backlash. All the buzz. For the first time in 2.5 years, Roman Reigns has been pinned. Yeah, in the record books, he was pinned, but he's still the unified champion. So you give that aura that Drew McIntyre has Roman Reigns' number. That's why Paul Heyman in Storyline went to Adam Pearce and said, you know, make the match a six-man. Give the fans what they want. Blah, 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 blah. The actual storyline is, I am afraid that my tribal chief cannot beat Drew McIntyre. He's hungry. He wants a bed. So by putting this as a six-man in storyline, it protects Roman Reigns. Drew McIntyre being put. Think about this. Why would the Usos want to go along with Paul Heyman's idea? I mean, if Roman Reigns told the Usos in storyline on SmackDown, this is what I want, that's different. But the Usos have expressed in the past a little bit of, you know, not going along with the program with Paul Heyman. So the only thing I could come up with is what we talked about is a possible scenario, or they want to start planting the seeds of Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns, probably at SummerSlam. Remember, we have Hell in a Cell in June, and it would be kind of ass backwards to have Roman and Drew fight inside a cell. So if they do have a match at Hell in a Cell, it'll probably be a straight-up match with a bullshit conclusion, and that will lead to SummerSlam. That seems to be the scenario. That seems to be. Now, you ask yourself this. Are you going to go ahead with the tag title unification match at Hell in a Cell? Are you going to do it at SummerSlam? Are you going to do it? Why scrap it entirely? I mean, you know, look, I know there's a lot of people out there that wanted the belts unified more because they want the roster split ended for years, and it's more about them being proven right than anything else. You know, I would have agreed with everyone 4 or 5 years ago, but you unify the belts right now, even though the tag team division sucks, you know, you eliminate opportunity. You know, you look at Roman holding both of those belts, it's not easy for some of the other heavyweight contenders to break through when there's only one belt available instead of two. And you know Cody Rhodes is getting his hands on that belt sooner or later. So since you know Cody is going to have some dibs to it, down the line, Brock Lesnar has to have some dibs to it. Roman Reigns, if he takes some time off down the line or if he focuses on a feud with The Rock, he could be out of the picture. But now you're talking about Cody, possibly Drew McIntyre, and Brock Lesnar all being in contention. That's why you need the two belts to be available instead of one. So, you know, not every title needs to be defended. Mike from New York Austin Theory should not be defending the title at WrestleMania Backlash because, again, what I've said before, think of the name of the premium live event, WrestleMania Backlash. Most of the matches are a backlash from WrestleMania. Sure, Drew and Roman didn't interact at Mania, but the Usos and RK-Bro, they have some history leading into this. It's WrestleMania Backlash. Theory was not the United States champion going into Mania or coming out of Mania. Mustafa Ali wasn't even on TV, so there's no reason to have. No, Dream 101, it's not about being owned. No, don't do that. Because a lot of people, you know, look at the name and don't realize that's why they have WrestleMania's name attached to it. They want us to feel like it's the fallout from WrestleMania, hence WrestleMania Backlash. Once you get past this event, now everything is on the table. So, well, anyway, that is my opening impromptu statement. I know you're just kidding, Dream. You'd be surprised how many people would not kid. So, before I go any further, I want to give a shout out to Garth. He is in the chat room right now trying to get his mind off of some very sad news. His mom had an asthma attack this morning and she passed away. And Garth is a very, very longtime supporter of the show. He's a friend of the show. And believe me, you know, when you have a tragedy happen, I know we go to the shows for an escape. You know, we try to get our minds off of it, try to laugh, you know, try to just, you know, give a little bit of sanity to yourself. So everyone, I know everybody who is live right now, echo what I am saying too. Look, I put my dog down several years ago. You know, a lot of people didn't even know that that night, 2 hours later, I was doing a podcast for Monday night. I didn't tell anybody. I eventually did, but I thought doing a show would get my mind off of it for a little while. My grandmother, when my grandmother died in 1991, which the anniversary was last week, she was the one that got me into wrestling, and I was closer to my grandmother than anybody else in my family at the time. When she died, I went to Atlantic City. I went to Atlantic City that night. And I know what some of you are going to say, like, what are you, nuts? You know why I went to Atlantic City? Because I will never make this mistake again. I can't tell you for how many months, maybe a year, year and a half, my grandmother would say to me, Anthony, when are we going to Atlantic City? No, we'll go soon. We'll go soon. You know, when are we going to Atlantic City? Oh, you said that last month. When are we going to Atlantic City? No, we'll go soon. She died. And I had this crazy idea. I'm going to go to Atlantic City and I'm going to win and I'm going to come back with some type of a chip and put it in her coffin. And that's what happened. I went to Atlantic City. I started losing my shirt. I ended up winning some money back and I put a chip in my pocket. And when we went to the funeral, I put it in a coffin. And I said to her, I said, Nana, we went to Atlantic City, you know. I could keep it together now because it's been a long time. But that is true. That is true. And I always vowed after that, that, you know, if I promise I'm going to do something with family, I'm not going to keep putting it off and putting it off, putting it off, because the last thing I want to do is regret not having that opportunity. So, all right. I also want to make a plug. I know some of you out there know Matt Krause as a longtime supporter of the shows. He's been a Patreon in the past as well. Well, Matt Krause has now ventured into podcasting. I know a lot of you out there get the bug, always want to try it out. And I like the name, Beyond the Mat with two T's, because his name is Matt. So if you want to go check him out, he is brand new. He is on YouTube, and he's a friend of the family. So be nice, because he is just starting. You listen to yours truly. 2-3 years into doing hotlines, and I was still beyond the goof, horrendously horrid. I listen back. That's why I don't play them all that much. You listen to me in around 2001, 2002. I tell everybody a little quick thing that you do not know. I don't think I have ever said this on the shows before, but you'll get a kick out of it. Do you remember Chaos? Kid Chaos? Chaos, who was an XPW. He was also in that MTV, what was it? What was that that show on MTV. Someone in the chat room bailed me out. Oh, shit. It was kind of like XPW, but it was, oh, my God. Someone in the chat room, please bail me out. Wrestling Society X, thank you, One Fall. Wrestling Society, I know a lot of you know who. I still remember when he got that one match on WWE television. I don't know if it was SmackDown he was on and, you know, he just jobbed out. But you remember Chaos? Okay. When XPW was coming to the Northeast and I was doing some work for XPW, before their first ever show in the Northeast, I interviewed Chaos. And me, you know, remember, this is 2002 now. Now, still, I'm just new with the, you know, the webcast or doing hotlines and everything. And I'm not good with interviews. And I'm not, you know, polished, so to speak, in how I talk and everything. And you ramble and you say, you know, 10,000 times. We were 10 minutes into the interview. And I knew deep down inside that I was bombing this interview. We got on the topic of Shawn Michaels, and I have the audio somewhere. We got on the topic of Shawn Michaels, and I started rambling about Shawn Michaels. He hung up the phone. And when I called him back, he says, yeah, I'm going through like a dead zone in California and everything. I'm like, ah, no problem. You know, we'll finish it up another time. And then when I saw him in California, I said, be honest, were you in a dead zone? He's like, no, he says the interview was horrible. I love it. That is true. So believe me, everybody starts somewhere. I'm not saying that Matt sucks, but, you know, he's starting out. So check him out. Beyond the Mat. He's on YouTube or a lot of audio platforms as well. All right. Tonight, we have the possible formation of a new women's tag team. I think this actually may come off a lot better than people think. Doudrop and Nikki Ash, probably Nikki Cross once again. She's been doing the goofy superhero stuff. We've talked about that many times before. Remember, almost a superhero, almost the crowd reaction. She won earlier today the 24/7 championship, beating Dana Brooke. They had some dumb segment. We'll get into it in a little bit. But she won earlier in the day, and Dana Brooke basically tells Reggie, if you want to bang me and consummate the marriage, you got better get me a title rematch tonight on Raw. So she gets Dana Brooke gets the title rematch. I don't know if Reggie got laid as a result. Because at the end of the night, Reggie's getting a divorce. We'll put it all together later. But anyway, Dana gets a rematch with Nikki Ash, and Dana Brooke wins. So Dana Brooke is once again the 24/7 championship. So later on, we see Nikki Ash, ASH, in the back, looking a little bit down and dejected. Hand goes on her shoulder, and it's Doudrop. And Doudrop basically says to you, you finished playing games? You got to take it seriously now? And just Nikki looks at her and says, yeah. So I think the superhero thing is going to be got bye-bye. Doudrop, Nikki Cross, they let them actually go in the ring. Not bad. Not bad at all. You see the lack of opponents for Sasha Banks and Naomi. I mean, I know Bayley is coming back soon, but all points lead to Bayley coming back as a singles wrestler, not aligning with anybody right off the bat. So you got to have some established, powerful women's tag teams. So that's a tag team to look forward to. Might be good. Mystery Man thinks that Doudrop and Nikki are going to get released. It could happen. You got to bring it. You have to bring it. And if you don't bring it, WWE will find you expendable. There's very, very few people. Now, before we talk about Raw, I really did not want to bring this up right early at the beginning of the show, but we might as well get it out of the way. Roderick Strong requested his release many times with WWE recently, and WWE has said no every single time. Moving on. Raw tonight... I know some people right now like, DT, that's kind of harsh. No. Guys, gals, when was the last time you saw any podcast journalist, Anybody, a writer, spend a whole boatload of time kissing ass and sucking ass to Roderick Strong. Let's be honest. I mean, I like Roderick Strong. And sure, I absolutely miss the Undisputed Era. But seriously, you tell me how Roderick Strong going to... I've said this 1,000 times. Well, at least 5 in the last 2 months. You put him on the main roster, what is he going to do? Is he going to suddenly act like a clown? Is he going to be a character? Is he going to be charismatic where the crowd is going to go, Roddy, Roddy? No, he's bland. He's bland as water. I like Roderick Strong. I actually had the privilege of working 2 shows that he was on as well. You know, the guy is a great guy, excellent wrestler. But as far as a character in WWE, no, it doesn't fit in. And I'll be honest with you. I don't think anybody out there truly wants him to go to AEW because I think it kind of screws up the storyline unless Kenny Omega is ready for a return. And guys, gals, let's be honest. Even if he were to go to AEW and reform and call themselves the Undisputed Elite, he's a member of it. You mean to tell me that there's wrestling fans out there that are not watching AEW right now that are going to say, oh, I'm going to tune in now because the Undisputed Era is finally back together again? You know, this isn't like Hall, Nash, Hogan, or and X-Pac. You know, I mean, let's be a little honest here. Whether he is on TV or not, it doesn't bang out any ratings. If you put him in AEW, I think it kind of screws up a little bit of the storylines. Sure, you could do trios matches. I could see trios matches, and Adam Cole is not part of the trios. But please, suddenly everybody gives a fuck about Roderick Strong. He asks for his release multiple times. What do you think? He gets paid $3.35 an hour? Do you think he gets minimum wage? You think he makes $25 an hour? The guy wants to leave. WWE said no. Maybe WWE feels, look, we could use you for NXT UK for a little bit. We could use you to help, you know, Diamond Mine, everything else. I'll tell you this much, not to be a jerk about it. In a personal sense, I don't blame Roddy for wanting to work with his wife. I don't blame Roddy for not wanting to, you know, for wanting to work with his friends. Any of us would do that. But let's also remember, I mean, he's got a really, the guy is getting paid too much for NXT developmental school standards. Roddy Strong is getting paid a lot more than some of the trainees that you see on TV now. So if anything, Roderick Strong might be a little bit overpaid at the moment. But I'll say this. Imagine how the Creed brothers must feel. Imagine how anybody that is working with Roderick Strong behind the scenes, imagine how they must feel that somebody that they feel is trying to help them and mold them, in the back of their mouth, they're like, please let me out. Please let me out. Please let me out. Please, please let me out of my contract. You know, do you want to work with somebody like that? I wouldn't. You know, so Roddy misses, you know, what's going down with the Undisputed Elite. I don't blame him. But again, and I say this for the 1,000th time, every single person that signs with WWE knows what they're getting themselves into. I guarantee you when Roderick Strong first went into WWE, I'm sure in the discussions they didn't say, we're going to have the Undisputed Era and you're going to be with all of these people, this and that. Wasn't he what the hell was the tag team? Oh, crap. What was that tag team with? I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about. The ones who were managed by Drake Maverick. I can't remember their names right now. It's like 3 letters. It's A something. I can't remember. But wasn't he like aligned with them also? I think he at some point, AOP. Thank you, Soulfly. It's late. AOP. You know, I mean, it ended up having a good group. But that's gone. That's over and done with. I want some of that. Well, live out the rest of your contract. And look, maybe WWE does release him now. Maybe a couple of months ago, WWE was not looking to make a surge of NXT releases yet. You know, they do want some veteran talent to help the stars of tomorrow. If Roderick Strong does not want to be one of those people, okay, fine. You know, but again, it must be awfully awkward to be one of those young stars going to Roddy and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Or what could I do better here? And then meanwhile, in the back of his mouth, he's like, please let me out of my contract. So, all right. No, he was not an original member, Benjamin, as far as WWE goes. You know, WWE, things happen the way they do. Anyway, by the way, we're going to run through Raw now very, very quickly. And I also said at 11:30 tonight, which is right about now, we're going to do a little contest. Going to do a little contest. We haven't done these in a while. Happy birthday to The Rock. The Rock turns 50 years old today. 50 years old. And we're going to do a little contest to give away two autographed photos of The Rock. But I got to tell you, I was looking at the preview for Young Rock tomorrow. Now, this is the next stage now. He's now in WWF 1996. He's going to be in the locker room for the first time, meeting the wrestlers for the first time. And they showed a picture. And look, these are all actors, obviously. What I'm trying to find out is who is the Asian guy on the right with the yellow trunks and the red boots? I hope that's not Aldo Montoya, because Aldo Montoya was not Asian. But what also makes me laugh is the two on the left. First of all, I know some of you may say, hey, that looks like a young Dick Murdoch. That's supposed to be the ringmaster, Steve Austin. The person all the way on the left sitting down, the ringmaster, Steve Austin. But for me, even worse, The Undertaker is like 6'1". I mean, if you actually look when you see him, if you watch Young Rock tomorrow, I mean, some of the characters they chose, man, I don't know. I don't know. But these are the guys, and that's supposed to be Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Isn't it interesting, guys? Isn't it interesting? For anybody that was watching WWE in 1996, 95, you go back with me to 95, 96. And you know damn well that Hunter Hearst Helmsley was a young star on the rise, but he was not the focal point of anything. When you hear people now today saying they always knew that he was going to be a mega, mega, mega star, no fucking way. There is no way in 1995, 1996 that people forecasted that Hunter Hearst Helmsley, you know, from Connecticut, was going to be a mega future Hall of Famer of tomorrow. But you look at this, he's got the biggest presence of them all. The Undertaker looks like a dunce standing in the corner. He's hiding behind the ringmaster. So, anyway. That's Young Rock for tomorrow. But anyway, I got a couple of these autographed promo photos of Young Rock. And we're going to give two of them away tonight. And we'll do it how we always do. Very simple. Guess the Raw rating contest. Now, let's do it now. Let's get it out of the way. So for everyone out there who is live, do not type in the chat room just yet. But what you're going to do is when I actually type the word now for about 60 seconds, I don't even think you need that long. You predict what you think Raw's rating is going to be from tonight. Now, let's look at the ratings for this week so you could see what Raw was last week. SmackDown from Friday did 1,953,000, which was pretty much the same as last week. Rampage, horrendous. I don't even think it was 518. I think it dropped down into the fours. Impact Wrestling is down to 107. Dynamite dipped 10% to 921. NXT with a very small increase to 577. And last week's Raw did 1,613,000. So now you have the base point for last week, 1,613. So all you have to do is when I say now, you go in the chat room and you just put what you think the Raw rating for tonight is going to be. If you type more than one rating, I'm going to take your first one. If you delete yours, then it's obviously void. Your entries, doesn't matter how many times you type. And pay attention to what others are writing in the chat. Because if someone else writes 1,636,000 and you write 1,636,000 also, yeah, you both of you would get a photo. But if three of you pick the same rating, the first two got it right are going to win the prize. So don't type it yet. I didn't say now. So what you should do is you should type your rating in the chat box, but don't hit enter yet. And we only need about 30 seconds for the contest. I don't think anybody types like this. You know, get your rating ready. And I'm going to put now. And then just type what you think the rating is going to be. Tomorrow, around 4 p.m. Eastern, we will see what the rating is. And I will take the first two that are closest to that rating. And you win each one of these autographed Young Rock promo photos. So, ready? Go. Anything below the now is in the contest. You do it now. Do it now. You got about 30 to 40 seconds because we want to cover Raw. We want to do predictions and preview for NXT Spring Breakin' and a little Dynamite, a little programming note about Rampage. Allows me to take a sip. Man, Rampage this Friday, 5:30 Eastern. What the hell is that? I was told from somebody within AEW that Rampage was going to be 6 o'clock this Friday. And depending on what teams advance in the playoffs, it'll be 6 o'clock next week or 7 o'clock, possibly. Not only is it not 6:30 this week, it's 6 o'clock, it's 5:30. So on Friday, Rampage starts at 5:30 Eastern. I hope some of you are willing to tune in because we got a cool giveaway for Friday as well. All right, last chance. So I'm about to type the word closed, and we're going to count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Closed. Contest is closed. Good luck to everybody who entered. So now, yeah, Rampage this Friday is going to air at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. That, you know, is extremely, for me, it's not too bad because we get Rampage done early. So, you know, after SmackDown is over now, if you're interested and you're going to be around on 5:30 on Friday, I am going to be giving away 6 of these CM Punk AEW Tops cards, 6 of them. Each person will win one. There'll be 6 winners. We will pick them at random on Friday. Maybe we'll do a live contest, but 6 people Friday that are going to be part of the watch party are going to win the CM Punk AEW. As I said a couple of days ago, I'm shocked that that card is still worth what it is on eBay. I know there was very limited that were made, but I thought by now that value would have dropped significantly. No, people are selling them as much as $60 still. I'm like, whoa, that's kind of, I have 50 of them still, maybe even a little more. So, no, I will not be doing a watch party for my wedding. So, all right, so if you tune in, and tomorrow, you know, we're going to give away a couple of prizes as well for NXT. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Raw. Getting my notes prepared. First off, guys, did you even realize, was it even hyped up this week that tonight was Seth Rollins appreciation night? I mean, last week was Randy Orton appreciation night, celebrating 20 years of Randy Orton's career. But tonight was Seth Rollins appreciation night. I didn't even know until literally the commercial before Seth Rollins came out. I'm like, yeah, this really didn't amount to much of anything. I know a lot of people tonight were really annoyed that Mustafa Ali has already suffered his first loss since coming back. As we said last week, Mustafa Ali fighting Theory for the championship is not in the cards at this moment. it is being teased for down the line. They did the handicap match to show that Mustafa Ali could probably beat Theory one-on-one. He certainly could beat Miz one-on-one. He beat him one-on-one last week. But when it's two-on-one handicapped, that is too much for Ali to win. I saw people tonight, you know, all, you know, just virtue signaling, like, oh my God, he's back, and 1 week he's already jobbing out. Shut the fuck up. It was a handicap match. He got distracted from Theory. You know, the Miz hits the skull-crushing finale. Ali gets pinned, and then he gets laid out once again from Tommaso Ciampa. You know what's strange about Tommaso Ciampa? Tune in to Main Event this week. Last week, Ciampa laid out Mustafa Ali. This week, Ciampa laid out Mustafa Ali, acting like a heel. Well, earlier tonight, Mustafa Ali wrestled Apollo Crews, beat Apollo Crews on Main Event, and Tommaso Ciampa was a babyface. So you have Ciampa doing heel things on Raw, but is acting like a babyface on Main Event. So now one of two things come to mind. Either WWE just doesn't give a shit about Ciampa right now and just throwing shit out there, or. This is what I was thinking. I'm not saying it's going to be good. Please, I'm not saying it's going to be good, but I have a feeling they could go in this direction. For last week and this week, you heard the commentator say, why did Ciampa do this? What's the meaning behind this? Does Ciampa just like whiny bitches that run the Twitter? Is there something about Ali that Ciampa doesn't like? The fact that they're saying, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? There's no history. There's no Easter eggs. I don't think there's going to be footage of them in a camp 10 years ago. I'm wondering if they do something where Ciampa confronts Mustafa Ali on Raw, maybe next week, and tells him, you know, you got to be tougher. You know, you got to be this, you got to be that, like trying to knock some sense into him, being like, where's that hungry Mustafa? I want to fight for things. I want to do this. That's the only logical scenario I could come up with, that maybe Ciampa actually likes Mustafa Ali, but he's trying to knock some sense into him, like, no, go for it, grab it, take what you want. Again, I'm not saying I like it, but I'm trying to make sense of why Ciampa is doing shit as a heel on Raw, and then an hour earlier for a Main Event taping, he's acting like a babyface. I don't know. Benjamin says it's interesting. Well, that's what I'm here for. I try to think outside the box. Hey, thinking outside the box 3 or 4 weeks ago nailed me a 50 spot tonight from Mikey Ravello. He says, hey, Don Tony, a little something for nailing it weeks ago about Finn Balor making a save for AJ Styles against Edge and Damian Priest. If you get the second part of Balor turning on AJ, I guess, right, you get another 50. All right. Anybody that tunes into my shows 3 weeks ago when Finn Balor lost the championship and Damian Priest aligned with Edge, you remember me saying that I think Finn Balor should turn and join up with Edge's group. And I even made a scenario that Edge and Damian Priest would beat down AJ Styles. Finn Balor would come to the rescue, come to the save of AJ Styles. And I even said maybe they'll do a match on Raw of Edge and Damian Priest versus AJ Styles and Finn Balor. And then Finn Balor turns on AJ Styles, joins up with Edge and Damian Priest. I know I brought this up probably 3 weeks in a row. So tonight on Raw, we kind of got that. Now, yes, I'm going a little out of place tonight, but that's okay. We're just doing an overview of Raw. I'm not supposed to be a synopsis where every little detail's in order. But here's what went down today. Some of it was awful. AJ Styles is being interviewed in the back. And there's a stipulation for tonight's match between AJ Styles and Damian Priest. If Damian Priest loses against AJ Styles, then Damian Priest is banned from ringside on Sunday at WrestleMania Backlash in the match between AJ and Edge. Damian Priest is banned from ringside. That's if Damian Priest loses. What happens if AJ Styles loses? And I actually had to rewind it twice. I'm not kidding you. Because when I heard it the first time, I was like, come again? And I rewound it a second time, and I said, wait, this can't be it. AJ Styles says, stipulation, if Damian Priest loses, he's barred from ringside. But if Damian Priest wins, then AJ Styles has an uphill battle on Sunday. The fuck is that? What is that? The stipulation, if Damian loses, he's barred. But what if he wins? Well, then I have an uphill battle. That was just awful. It was awful. Why would Damian Priest and Edge go along with that? Well, sir, I guess you're going to have an uphill battle. Awful. So they have the match. AJ Styles wins. Damian Priest is barred from ringside Sunday. Finn Balor is not. Now, do I want to see Finn turn as quickly as Sunday? No. No, I think that's too soon. There's no reason to have him turn at the pay-per-view. After the match is over, you could have Damian Priest come out after the match. They double-team AJ Styles. Finn Balor makes the save again, and this leads into Raw, where they tease a tag match. But as I said 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think the storyline should be Finn comes to the save of AJ, sets up the tag match. Finn turns on AJ ultimately. Finn joins up with Edge and Damian Priest. AJ and Damian Priest would be an awesome tag team. Damian Priest and Finn Balor would be an awesome tag team. Finn Balor would have a new crop of opponents from Riddle to Orton to others. And we see a side of Finn Balor we really have not seen in WWE. So we will see what happens. But Mikey, get that out of the 50 ready. I think you're going to have to pay the piper soon enough. Mike says that WWE is not that smart. I don't know. We will see. But the first, if they're going this route, the first stage is set. Finn Balor now in the picture. Where does it go from here? I'm looking forward to it. All right. The opening of Raw tonight, we talked about it at the beginning of this show. They are still, as of right now, going with the 6-man tag match for Sunday. If you pay close attention to social media, there's not the uproar that you think that there is, that it was changed to a 6-man. I know a lot of the bigger voices out there are, you know, the megaphones for others. But if you look at the casual wrestling fan, they're still seeing Roman Reigns wrestle on Sunday. Drew McIntyre is much more over than people realize. He's wrestling on Sunday. RK-Bro and the Usos are still wrestling on Sunday. So they're still getting all of the stars. Not everybody wanted those titles to be unified. But it is really strange that a week before they just decide to change it up this drastically. And tonight, really, you had Roman, the Usos, and Paul Heyman open up Raw. And soon as Roman asks Greensboro to acknowledge him, North Carolina, the Usos are greeted with stereo RKOs. They are laid out. Next thing you know, Drew McIntyre comes out as well, and they clean house. Now you kind of feel like, okay, is this leading to a match to close out Raw tonight? No, that was it. They did the opening segment, done. To be continued on Friday. That's how they left it off. Now, I'll leave you with this for now about this. I know we talked earlier about this, but I'll leave you with this. Think back to 3 weeks ago when Roman Reigns cut the promo on SmackDown and said the Bloodline wants all the gold. Remember that? Why would suddenly the Bloodline not want all the gold anymore? I get it. In storyline, Roman Reigns does not want to put up his titles on the line. They're going to have to do something on Friday. It just feels too matter-of-fact, like, oh, we're just going to change it. There's got to be more to it. It just sucks that they're literally going to wait until 48 hours before the pay-per-view to give a concise answer as far as which way they're going to go with this. But I personally think the only reason why this was changed was so Drew McIntyre can pin Roman Reigns, make that feud start, give the suspension of disbelief that Drew can actually defeat the unified champion, and that begins this summertime feud between the two. Brock Lesnar is going to have to return soon. He is still under contract. Brock Lesnar is not done. He's going to have to come back soon. Does he get involved with this in some capacity? Does he cause somebody to win or lose? When does The Rock get back into the picture? You know, maybe Survivor Series? Do you wait all the way to the Royal Rumble? I don't know. Have a good night, John Vickers. So now we get another lot of segments taped from earlier in the day. You had Ezekiel hanging out with the Street Profits. They give him a cup. Ezekiel apparently doesn't like what he's drinking. Either it tastes like shit or it was very much filled with alcohol. Then you see Kevin Owens and Alpha Academy coming in. Shush! Shush! Chad Gable's talking about the lie detector test, that it can be manipulated from only someone who is maniacal, and Kevin Owens still beating that dead horse. No match between Kevin Owens and Ezekiel at WrestleMania Backlash. I know what I said earlier, they weren't part of WrestleMania, you know, but it just feels like, why are they pushing this so hard and then not leading to anything? I don't think they're going to hold off Hell in a Cell. But what ends up happening is there's a challenge issued, and we are going to have the Street Profits and Ezekiel take on Alpha Academy and Kevin Owens. And sure enough, we get the match right after. Ezekiel getting tremendously over by the crowd. We want Zeke chance. They wanted him in the ring. Unfortunately, he was the one to get the loss. He gets fruit rolled up. He gets the fruit roll up done to him by Chad Gable. Alpha Academy and Kevin Owens wins. Ezekiel got tied up on the ropes. He got tripped up by Kevin Owens, and this led to Gable defeating Ezekiel, but Ezekiel pinned. So there was more than one new popular fan favorite that got pinned tonight. Yes, King of Games, I agree. If you're enjoying tonight's show, take a moment and hit that like button. It actually helps more than you know, and it costs nothing. AJ Styles comes out, announces the very dopey stipulation, defeats Damian Priest. After the match is over, Damian Priest and Edge giving a beatdown to AJ Styles. Edge, really funny on the mic prior to the match, putting down North Carolina, putting down AJ Styles. It's going to be AJ Styles' judgment day. They at Backlash, they beat down AJ. Finn makes the save, and we go to commercial. We get the recap of what happened last week with Sonya Deville and Bianca Belair. And as we all expected, Adam Pearce telling Sonya, nope, tonight you are nothing but a wrestler. You are not an authority. You cannot change stipulations. You cannot do extra things for Bianca. Tonight, you are only a wrestler, and Sonya is pissed off because of it. They tease later on in the night, which was the main event, a six-woman tag match of Asuka, Liv Morgan, and Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, and Sonya Deville. That is your main event for tonight's show. Veer Mahan apparently doesn't like pulled pork. Bert Henson. He is from Stevie's Barbecue in Greensboro. And they did kind of like the James Ellsworth, you know, the Byron's interviewing him before the match. You know, this is what I dreamed about, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to do what I can. No, you're not. It's like Corey Graves said, it may not pay as much as WWE, but pulled pork is in your future, Mr. Henson. So Veer Mahan destroys him. After the match is over, he gives him an additional beatdown. So shout out to Eric. Loves the chat. I like going his positive vibes. All that hate and attention stuff. You know, if you don't bring the hate and attention, usually, don't you realize, everyone, that heat and hate and tension and negative actions seem to generate heat and tension and negative actions? I try to keep that aside. And I'm glad that for a majority of the time, everybody has a good time. That's what the intentions are. It always was those intentions. Mustafa Ali comes out for Miz TV. And they're making fun of his name. The Miz is calling him Moost. Ali's mic does not work. Oh, technical difficulties. When was the last time that happened? Can't believe that would happen on a high production show like this. As Ali's coming down the rampway, before that, his entrance music stops midway. Production screw up. Basically, Miz is fucking with Mustafa Ali. The entrance music stops early. The microphone doesn't work. Miz is putting him down. He says, don't go to Twitter and complain now. So then finally, Mustafa Ali grabs Miz's mic. That does work. And Ali, you know, with the Fed, oh, the only thing that people are complaining about is you're still on the roster. Yuck, 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 yuck. But the crowd goes with it. That's why you keep getting those corny Fed yuck, yuck jokes every week. Ali talks about how the Miz, he's the one that should not be working there. And he says the difference between Miz and Mustafa Ali is that when Miz doesn't get what he wants, he runs to the back and he whines to the people in the back. He complains to the people in the back. Mustafa Ali goes to the WWE Universe because the only people that matter are the WWE Universe. And that's why he voices his frustrations with WWE Universe. Gets a pop from it. This brings out Theory. Theory says, unlike Must, now they call Mustafa Ali Must. Unlike Must, I have something to say that the people want to hear. He announces that he talked to Vince McMahon, and because Miz didn't have a chance to prepare last week, he said that he's having Vince McMahon remove Mustafa Ali's win from the record. So, in storyline, technically, Mustafa Ali never won in his return match last week. Okay, fine. Austin Theory calls. Yes, I know we keep saying Austin, but I can't just say Theory. It just sounds stupid. Theory calls Mustafa Ali a schmuck, actually used the term schmuck. Now, I don't know if Ali's microphone started working. I don't remember him grabbing Miz's mic again, but it seemed like his mic suddenly started working. I don't know if I'm wrong. But Ali's talking about how he doesn't want a title shot just handed to him. He wants to fight for it. So theory says that tonight Mustafa Ali does have a championship contenders match. If he wins the match, then he gets, you know, the opportunity to take on Theory for that championship. And he says that Ali can't handle the heat. Ali says if there's anybody that can handle the heat from the back, it's him. We then learn it's a handicap match. Miz and Austin Theory, as I said earlier, they defeat Ali. Ali, the fight went outside with him and Theory. And Theory distracted Ali as he was getting back in the ring. And the Miz hits him with the skull-crushing finale, gets pinned. Again, I'm not too bothered by it because, number one, as we said last week, Ali's imminent issue is Ciampa, not Theory as of yet. The seed has been planted with Theory. They will go back to that later on. But not only that, the handicap match, special circumstances, one-on-one, it's, you know, I wouldn't be concerned about it. So now we get the goofy stuff earlier in the day with Tozawa, R-Truth, Tamina, Dana, Reggie. Dana wants an apology from R-Truth. R-Truth just wants his baby back. Tamina, her waist is empty. She wants the 24/7 title. Tozawa wants to help Tamina get that title. And Reggie just wants to get laid. Reggie wants to consummate the marriage. So Dana Brooke, she's, you know, telling Truth, you owe me an apology. You tried to pin me last week, blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, Nikki Ash shows up and she rolls up. Dana Brooke gets the title, runs out of the building. And Dana's screaming at Reggie, you were supposed to protect me. You were supposed to do this and that. You want to get laid. They didn't use those words, but you want to consummate the marriage. Get me a rematch tonight. Dana got the rematch. Dana regained her title. But then what ends up happening is you had R-Truth for a moment try to get the belt back. Tamina and Tozawa with some antics trying to get the belt. And Reggie, outside the ring, tries to fruit roll up Dana Brooke. And Dana slaps the bejesus. I can't believe I'm using that word. She slaps the shit out of Reggie. She climbs the announcer's desk and she says, Reggie, I want a divorce. Because Reggie tried to roll her up for the championship, she wants a divorce. Now, my honest opinion on this, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but for tonight, I kind of agree with Reggie. Because if I had a choice, I would take the 24/7 title over Dana Brooke anyway. So now they're about to have a divorce. Thank fucking God. Get this storyline out of there. Horrible. So that's where we're at with Dana Brooke and Reggie. When does Tozawa and Tamina get divorced? We'll see what happens. Becky Lynch cutting a promo on Asuka. Seth Rollins comes out. It's Seth Rollins appreciation night. Crowd is serenading Seth early on, and Seth loves it. But then the crowd immediately starts chanting for Cody, and Seth don't love that. He starts bad-mouthing Cody. Cody cannot steal Seth's spotlight because he is the damn spotlight. He tells the crowd, shut up, that it's his appreciation night. He says that some of the crowd has forgotten how good Seth Rollins is, that the fans are too wrapped up on the American Nightmare. The crowd forgot how good he is, and he's going to remind them. He's going to show the greatest video package ever been put together. We don't get the video package. Instead, we get Cody's music. Cody comes out, makes fun of Seth's attire, says he looks like he's Johnny Polo the way he's dressed. Cody praises Seth a little bit, but also calls him delusional. Seth Rollins brings up Dusty, and he says that just like his father Dusty, he's an egomaniac. Dusty was an egomaniac. The apple has not fallen too far from the tree. Dusty was delusional just like Cody is. And the fact is, Dusty always wanted to become WWE champion, but he was not good enough. And just like his father, as long as Seth is in WWE, Cody is not good enough either. And this leads to a tremendous brawl. Cody hits the Cody cutter onto Seth. He rolls out of the ring, and then Cody throws Seth Rollins' jacket into the crowd. I don't know if Seth was able to retrieve it afterwards. Maybe a little trade. I don't know. But Cody tremendously over in North Carolina. So we get the recap of the arm wrestling contest the week before. Bobby Lashley beats Cedric Alexander. During this match, Omos and MVP come out. MVP on the microphone putting down Bobby Lashley. Every time Lashley would start getting the upper hand, the crowd was getting into it. MVP's putting down the crowd. You know, don't coach him on, you know. But in the end, we had a little bit of a mess outside the ring. Cedric goes to dive onto Lashley. He swats him down. And it looked like Cedric may have legitimately injured his shoulder on the ring post. But Lashley brings him back in the ring, hits the spear, then the hurt lock, defeats Cedric Alexander. And we will see Omos and Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania Backlash. So then we get the main event. And right before the main event, you know, Sarah Schreiber with the genius question of the night. Hey, Liv, why did you ambush Rhea last week? Because I was pissed off. I mean, what a dumb question. Liv, why did you ambush Rhea last week? And Liv is like, because I did to her what she did to me. No fucking shit. Liv cuts a promo saying that Rhea is actually disappointed in herself, blah, 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 blah. We get a main event, and sure enough, we end up getting Liv Morgan pinning Sonya Deville. Now, this was your typical Raw main event. It was a lot of fun. You know, Sonya Deville trying to get a little bit of, trying to push a little bit of her authority around, and they kept reminding her, no, you're just a wrestler tonight. You cannot put extra steps on Bianca Belair. Becky Lynch and Asuka going at it a little bit. I'm very surprised that the heels lost tonight. I'll tell you why. If you think about especially Rhea Ripley out of all of this, Rhea Ripley broke away from Liv Morgan because of the constant losing. Tonight, Rhea Ripley is on the losing team once again. And I honestly thought, like, okay, especially after everything that went on with Rhea Ripley, unless the frustrations of even this makes her go to Judgment Day, Edge, Damian Priest. James thinks that Becky has got to get the belt back. I say no, not right now. Not right now. I know a lot of people feel that Bianca Belair is much better chasing for the title than being the actual champion, but you got to give it more time. WrestleMania was only 1 month ago. I mean, when you realize that some people haven't even necessarily defended their championships in the last month, you got to give her more time. But, you know, this match, it was a fun match. Towards the end, Sonya Deville getting a little bit frustrated because she can't do extra things to Bianca Belair. I know that sounds kind of naughty, but not intended that way. And then she gets her eye off the ball. Liv Morgan capitalizes. Liv Morgan gets the pin. I was shocked. I mean, of course, in storyline, Sonya Deville eating the pin, you know, kind of makes sense. But the flip side of it, I don't know. I think if there was ever a time to have the heels get a win, I'm not saying that Bianca needed to be pinned, but especially with Rhea Ripley, you know, why would she be fine with the fact that her teammate just got pinned? So, but it was okay. I mean, the problem for me is that once you put that out there of a magnitude of proportions that the tag titles are going to be unified, and you think about, again, Roman's promo, the Bloodlines wants all the gold, and then suddenly it's like, no, never mind. Like Drew McIntyre, see, this is what people need to remember. If you think back even before this, Drew McIntyre, for the last couple of weeks, was not an issue with Roman Reigns. So it's not like Drew came out first and then Roman got a little concerned and Paul Heyman got a little concerned and decided, why would the Bloodline be concerned about the Usos tag titles if Drew McIntyre were to come out there? Roman's title was not on the line. So even if Drew McIntyre came out there and did what he did, Roman's title was not on the line. See, I think that there's where WWE made the mistake. If Drew would have challenged Roman for the championship at WrestleMania Backlash, even though they didn't have any interaction at WrestleMania, if he would have done that, and then Paul Heyman says, let's make this a six-man tag, then that makes sense. Because Paul Heyman, scared shit about Drew challenging Roman Reigns, changes the match immediately. That would make sense. But Drew McIntyre was not a threat for RK-Bro to defeat the Usos. Drew McIntyre only wanted one person, and that's Roman Reigns. So why, you see where I'm going with this? They really made a big mistake with that. Maybe something changes on Friday, and then we'll look back on it and be like, okay, all right, whatever. So now, here's the plan for this week. Saturday, I'm doing the Don Tony show. I will, right at the beginning of the show, give you very quick WrestleMania Backlash predictions. Because I know a majority of you out there will watch that show after Backlash is over. So I'm probably going to spend 5 to 10 minutes at most giving you predictions. So that'll be Saturday, and then we'll have your regular show on Saturday. Now, very quickly, I'm going to give you quick rundown of NXT Spring Break-In. That is tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, we're going to do a couple of giveaways as well. I have a stack, and a lot of these are credit to WWE, a stack of very, very cool photos in here. And the one that everybody seems to be really wanting, I'll show it to you if I could pull it out quickly, is it's Liv Morgan, but I got to find the right one. Remember it's Saudi Arabia? Oh, here it is. This is the one I think everybody wants because it's not available anywhere. When she dressed as Britney Spears, I have a few of those. So I have a couple of WrestleMania signed photos as well, so we'll probably give away a couple tomorrow. But tomorrow is NXT Spring Break-In. It's not a pay-per-view event. It's not even a premium live event. It's just a special episode of NXT. Don't expect any major things to go down. As far as matches go, you know, you see right here, I mean, I think Grayson Waller obviously... You look at the matches. I mean, there's really nothing all that spectacular that stands out. You know, you look at the women's tag. I'm going to go into each match right now, but you look at the matches. I mean, even this is not a match. It's just, I'm a little sensitive to that. But anyway, let me run down the matches. Grayson Waller is obviously going to take this. This is a showcase more than anything to introduce new talent. And this match, honestly, I don't even think fans are really going to be into this all that much, but it's Grayson Waller in the end is going to get the win. I'm very curious. What the hell's going to happen with Sanga? What's going to happen with Sanga? I mean, they're now talking about possibly bringing him to the main roster. He was not released. So what do you do with Sanga? Now, remember, they teased the split with Shanky and Jinder Mahal. Could Sanga be put into that mix in some capacity? I don't know. We have a women's tag match. Natalya teaming up with Lash Legend against Nikita Lyons and Cora Jade. I'm actually going with Nikita Lyons and Cora Jade. Natalya and Shayna Baszler are going to be fighting for the women's tag titles a week from this Friday on SmackDown. So Natalya will be back on the main roster before you know it. I think this was just to give a little bit of name value to this match. I have said Lash Legend is definitely coming along, but she's nowhere near where she should be. She's obviously still extremely green. But I think in the end, I think Nikita Lyons and Cora Jade take this one. We have the Creed Brothers versus the Viking Raiders. You know, we've talked about the Viking Raiders many times before. It was either they turn heel, they go to NXT, or get released. Just to say it bluntly, they are stuck in the mud on the main roster. For this match, you know, like my gut feeling says you got to give it to the Viking Raiders simply because of what they have done in WWE, even though they obviously have not lived up to the potential that they should have. But I kind of feel like you put them in NXT, I think you got to get an upset win. So I'm actually going to go with the Creed Brothers to beat the Viking Raiders. Don Tony doing a sit-down. Oh, I'm sorry. Not that Don Tony. This Don Tony. Unbelievable, everyone. I know we could laugh at it and chuckle at it. First it was the Don. Now he's doing a sit-down. Gifa. What is going on here? This is going to be corny. It's going to be stupid. It's going to set up a six-man tag for the following week. Tony D'Angelo and his two cronies, his numbnuts, are going to take on Legado del Fantasma. That's where this is going. It's going to be lead to a six-man tag, whatever. I hope it's good, but I'm not holding my breath. Guys, gals, this is not a ladder match. I don't know. I listened to last week's show. I did not say ladder match, but I saw a lot of people commenting about this as a ladder match. It is not. It is Cameron Grimes defending the North American Championship against Carmelo Hayes and Solo Sikoa. Especially with this backstory with Cameron Grimes, I don't think you take the title off of him this quickly. I would love to see Solo Sikoa get a little bit of a run with that belt. Carmelo Hayes has already proved himself, and Carmelo Hayes, he is close to going to that main roster. No rush. No rush needed. But that guy is going to be the next one. You could see it. I think you have Cameron Grimes retain the championship. Although I would love to see Solo Sikoa get it. And thank you, Devin, for the kind words. And your main event, it'll be Bron Breakker taking on Joe Gacy. Now, if you did not check out my show on Saturday, when I go like this, there'll be a link. We got into all the releases from Dexter Lumis, you know, to Dakota Kai down the list. We talked about every single one, who really should have been released, who should not, who requested their, you know, not their release, but they refused to sign new deals. You know, some were surprises, obviously. But as I said on Saturday, you know, we should have seen this coming with Harland, because for the last 2 weeks, he was not alongside Joe Gacy. No mention of Harland as well. So I kind of like blame myself also. Like 2 weeks ago, we should have said, hey, wait a minute. Where's Harland? They're not even mentioning him. You know, and now he's obviously gone. Gone for now. Gone for now. But there is no way that Bron Breakker is losing this championship to Joe Gacy. They're not going to start playing hot potato with this NXT championship. They did at WrestleMania time because the storyline more was, you know, Bron Breakker, you know, learning Dolph Ziggler, getting an opportunity, stealing an opportunity, and Bron Breakker getting it back. Bron Breakker is going to retain that title. He's not beating Joe Gacy. So that is your card. So again, it's just a regular NXT episode with a little, you know, spring theme to it. I can't complain. I can't complain. Now, WrestleMania Backlash is this Sunday. I will be here Sunday night immediately following the event, pay-per-view, premium live event, whatever you want to call it. I will be here giving you my recap, review, thoughts. I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm telling you, I'm with everyone out there that feels that Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair's feud so far has been very underwhelming. I am confident that as time goes by, Ronda Rousey will get it back in the promo department. If people go back to when Ronda Rousey first debuted on a regular basis for WWE, she was just as horrid on the mic. As time went on, she started to find her groove a little bit. I think that comes back as well. The I Quit match is something similar to what should have happened at WrestleMania. WrestleMania should not have just been a regular one-on-one match. It should have been street fight, no DQ, I quit, falls count anywhere, whatever you want to choose. Because I still say it to this day, that Survivor Series match that Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair had is one of the greatest matches in women's wrestling in the last 10, 15 years that nobody talks about. I'm not saying it's the greatest, but I will tell you this much. I love that match a hell of a lot more than Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker when they had their hardcore match. And the only reason why I say that is because Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair, there was a much deeper storyline with that. Don't get me wrong. Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker tore the house down. We weren't expecting that. But for me, if you go back and you watch that match and look at all the Singapore cane shots to the face that Ronda Rousey took, to me, it felt like that night Ronda Rousey earned her stripes. So if you've never seen that match or you haven't watched it since it happened, it's worth going back and revisiting it. It's really that good. So Wednesday, this is what we have, the lineup. For AEW, we have Chris Jericho taking on Santana. Deonna Purrazzo and Mercedes Martinez, they are going to have a champion versus champion match. Deonna Purrazzo is the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Mercedes Martinez is the interim champion. So they're doing another one of those. You know, again, I don't mind Ring of Honor being featured on occasion, but it seems like every week they're trying to put a high-profile Ring of Honor match. There's a reason why Ring of Honor did shit ratings when it was on, you know, TV for several years. You know, when it was on, I think, the same night as Impact and others. I mean, sure, the roster is a little bit different. But, you know, you look at Ring of Honor's history outside of WrestleMania weekends, they're not a huge draw. And listen, you know, I have nothing against the people that are wrestling for Ring of Honor, but everybody knows right now it is just a name only. You start returning to TV, you start touring, and then people will start putting some, you know, investment into it. But just because you own a promotion and you start putting those titles on the line, Deonna Purrazzo admitted last week, she's like, I don't know if I'm going to wrestle for AEW after this. So right now, the titles are being defended in name only. It's going to be cool to see Deonna Purrazzo on the card, but in the end, you know, like, who's going to stick around? You know? So, and if Mercedes Martinez ends up getting it, especially since she does have a contract with AEW, you know, I don't know what that does as far as the Ring of Honor titles in the future. The Butcher, The Blade, and Angelico versus the Blackpool Combat Club. Oh, gee, I wonder who's going to pin who. It's probably going to be Utah pinning Angelico. And I like Utah, but again, you know, I don't know. For me, it's almost like Maven with Evolution. Can't force it. I mean, the AEW fans like Utah, and Utah's talented, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Wardlow is taking on W. Morrissey, who you also know as Big Cass. It's going to be the same thing like Eric Redbeard. W. Morrissey's going to show up. He's going to lose to Wardlow, and we move on. And I'm sorry if anybody gets mad at me for saying this, but I brought it up the other day just in passing, and I had a lot of people respond to it. You know, MJF picking these opponents for Wardlow, it feels like the exact same shit that he did with Chris Jericho. Remember when he had Jericho fight Gage and he had Jericho fight Hoovy? And he had Jericho. It feels like the same shit again. I don't know. Jeff Hardy versus Bobby Fish. The winner of that match will qualify for the Owen Hart Memorial Cup tournament. And that is your lineup advertised. Interesting that Rampage's rating went down as far as it did. It was like, I think it was like mid-fours. And I still remember the tweet that Tony Khan wrote on Friday. And I know Tony Khan means well, but if anybody goes back and looks at his Twitter on Friday, he said that he truly felt that Friday's hour of Rampage is the greatest, one of the greatest hours of wrestling they've ever put on. You know, you keep putting that out there, the greatest, the greatest, the greatest, the greatest, and the numbers are not reflecting it. You know, he revealed, and I'm not, and please, I don't want anybody to get offended by this. He revealed on Friday that Samoa Joe versus Trent was another fantasy match of his. Tony Khan, stop booking shit to pleasure yourself. I don't care how much he fantasizes. Let them wrestle in your living room. Let them wrestle in your bedroom. But stop putting matches assuming that everybody else, because they're a fan of AEW, because they're fantasy matches of yours and you always wanted to see it, that means, oh my God, if it's good enough for Tony, it's good enough for me. Man's got to learn, man. He's got to learn. We did not give a shit about Samoa Joe versus Trent all that much. It was a fun match. But it was like, I don't even think that would have aired in NXT all that much. But it's a fantasy match for him. And again, look at the tweet. I'm not making it up. I'm not a bot. I'm not exaggerating. He actually said last Friday's right. He wanted everybody to tune in. He truly felt that Rampage's hour Friday was one of the greatest hours of wrestling they ever put on. Sir, if that's one of the greatest hours of wrestling that you've ever put on, you better call your son and give him a little bit of a reality check there. No, it wasn't. It wasn't even close. So, all right. We're in an hour and 22 minutes. I think we are going to wrap it up. Once again, happy birthday to The Rock, who turned 50 today. And yes, it is Pat McAfee's birthday as well. Kind of felt bad for Pat. Everybody was focused on The Rock today, even though it's Pat McAfee's birthday too. We're looking at a little bit of The Rock's resume on the screen. 10-time world champion, 2-time intercontinental champion, Royal Rumble winner, owner of the XFL, third-generation superstar, WrestleMania wins over Cena, Hogan, and Austin. $10.5 billion of revenue in his movies worldwide, and it goes on and on and on. We don't need to put The Rock over. He does a damn good job himself. 50 years old, man. 50 years old. Time is starting to fly, man. Just like this. So, no 10 more minutes, James. I am going to do the watch party tomorrow. We'll give away a couple of things. We'll watch a little bit of NXT Spring Breakin'. Wednesday Night Dynamite. I believe it's going to return next week. I think we're looking at next week at returning. I have enjoyed, you know, having a little extra day off during the week, but I do feel like there's enough to talk about live on Wednesday night. And, you know, we'll see. But as of right now, I'm leaning towards it returning next week. But as far as YouTube goes, I will be back on Thursday for the Don Tony Show. If you're a member of our Patreon family, I will be doing a Patreon show this Wednesday. If you would like to be part of it, I will send the DMs out to the Hall of Famers, VIPers, and everyone else. And remember, if you're an elite channel member here, La Nostra Familia, you get that Patreon show that I do weekly as well. You know, and again, for some patrons out there that were angry early on, well, why are they getting our Patreon show? Well, because they get ad-free episodes of everything we do here. It's only fair, right? Plus, let's be honest, La Nostra Familia here is only about 30 people strong. So it's not like there's thousands of people tuning into that show. But if you're an elite channel member here, you get that show too. So everyone, again, I know I ask and most don't do it, but if you enjoyed tonight's episode, take a moment, hit that like button. It really does send a message to YouTube that you enjoyed the show, and it sends a message to me also that you enjoyed the show. You know, I appreciate everybody's support. I thank you very much. You make it fun, and you make it worthwhile. And like I say, you know, unfortunately, yeah, co-hosts will come and go for whatever reasons, but one thing that's always constant, I never leave you. I'm here, and I hope you enjoy what I do. And if you know anyone else out there that may enjoy it as well, let them know about the channel. And whether you tune in on the video side or you access the audio only side, which is about 90% of you, you know, I thank you all equally for the support. It is very much appreciated. And you're the reason why not only do I get to do this, but that I have gotten additional opportunities and deals. You know, you'd be surprised. Especially if you work hard, you'd be surprised who takes notice. You know, it blows me away sometimes some of the messages I get or DMs and, you know, even offers. Like, wow, I had no idea that these people were looking. Well, yeah, they are. So, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome. Hard work does pay off, believe me. So everyone have a great night. All the best. Stay safe. Tomorrow in the community section, I will announce the winners of the rock sign photos from tonight. And then tomorrow night, you know, we'll pull out a stack from here. I'm going through it. And, you know, like I said, the Sasha Banks photos, I mean, this is from WrestleMania. That's Ronda Rousey signing from WrestleMania. The Johnny Knoxville's were in here. They even, look, WWE even sent me some old school Sasha Banks. Some retro Sasha Banks. There's some pretty awesome ones in here. Not just that, they sent me of The Undertaker. We got Undertaker photos. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But I think the Sailor Moon Sasha Banks photos is probably the ones. Even when Ronda was, you know, this is from a couple of years ago. So we got a stack. And, yeah, we got this one that's going to be coming out next. This is Bobby Lashley and MVP, dual signed. I know they're not together anymore, but a lot of people still love that combination. So, and then don't forget Friday for Rampage. Going to give out 6 of these cards. If you want a chance to win, just show up. That's all you got to do is just show up for the watch parties. You don't even need an invite anymore. Now, you know, we can make the link public since, you know, as long as you have like a TV service that you're subscribed to, you can hang out and watch it with us. So, all right, everybody, have a great night. All the best. Thank you. Be well. Stay safe.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.